15 seconds to go. I'm getting started. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the November 15 meeting. Is there any additions? Are there any additions to the agenda?
No.
Okay, we'll move to the approval of the minutes. Have you all had an opportunity to read the minutes? And are there any corrections, changes, missing information? I particularly liked the format of the way the minutes delineated action items that we discussed or took. So it's looking good to me. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 So we have no public forum. Councillor Jensen.
Well, that came quick.
I know.
I'm like the bad student doing their homework at the last minute. Hang on. Wait, come on, listen. So we have coming up some consequential votes. And I've already talked about some of these items, so I won't go on about what we're going to work through today. The Ashton Canal is coming up on Tuesday for a vote. Approval of the pool bond. Did I talk about that last time?
No.
Okay, so in a nutshell, here's the pool. Daniel Meyer Pool is disintegrating. Anybody here use Daniel Meyer Pool? Okay. It's disintegrating. Tiles are coming off. It's becoming a liability. And it isn't for lack of maintenance. It's just to reach the end of its pool life, which things are wont to do, as we are all wont to do here at some point. The Parks has put forward a proposal to use a good portion of their meals tax that they already get to fund a rehabilitation of the Daniel Meyer Pool to the tune of $2 million, I think it is, or 1.8 or 2 million, or maybe 2.2 or something. Yeah, it's going to be bigger, and it's going to have some other features, and so on and so on. I don't know the exact details, but they've had a very robust ad hoc committee that has done a fair amount of work on that.
So how can they make it bigger? There isn't any room there, is there?
Well,
or they take parking?
No, there's an opportunity. It's going to be 25 yards by 25 meters. So that's not a big extension.
The way it's going to be funded is through a bond measure that will be paid off by the meals tax. The park's share of the meals tax. They're not going to take any more or not ask any more of the meals tax than they already get. So it's really a pretty good way to do it without increasing anybody's. The only time that you're going to feel it is when you get your recession burger at Louis and pay in a few extra cents. And the meals tax is not going up either. So every time you buy here locally, keep in mind you're kind of contributing to the pool. So what the city council has to do, the city council has to approve only the borrowing part of it. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It isn't like we're approving the whole project or anything. We are allowing the Ashton Parks and Rec Commission, who is the elected body who approves these kind of things, to use the city borrowing power to fund the bond. That's coming up, if that makes sense.
So I guess I don't understand why there is a bond if it's internally funded.
Well, they have to. It's internal. They haven't saved up enough money to fund this.
Oh.
It's being paid off, so to speak.
Paid forward.
By the meals tax.
Okay.
It's very similar to your house mortgage. It's paid off by your continuing earning power over the next 20 years and so on.
So the meals tax is a city revenue, and
right,
they're borrowing it from the city. Is that correct?
The Ashton Parks and Rec gets a certain portion of the meals tax, mm-hmm, already. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's somewhere like 40%. I don't have to figure it out, but it's 40% of the meals tax. Of that 40% that the parks already gets, they're using a good chunk of that to fund the new pool, rather than use it for other things that they have used before in the past.
I just am unclear about who they're borrowing from.
They are borrowing, I think they go out on the market. I think it's a typical bond, you know, it's a typical bond, you know, low interest.
It's all an internal city issue.
Right, right, right. Although they're not, I don't believe they're not borrowing from the city. They're borrowing from some foreign agency who does these things. Municipal bonds that we all buy tax-free, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then speaking of bond, then the next thing we're voting on is a jail bond. And this has become a really, I wouldn't say controversial, but it is a controversial issue. I talked about it last time. If you live in a $400,000 house, it is going to increase your property taxes upwards of $320 to $350 a year.
Wow,
for the new jail bond. That's some significant dough.
Yeah.
If you live in a $400,000 house, which in Ashland, that's
pretty much
kind of a regular house, you know. So if you live in a, you can just do the math, it's 80 cents. So a $500,000 house is going to be $400. If you live in a $600,000 house, you may be close to $500 a year increase in property tax for that item alone. Yeah. So, and then you think of the folks out in Shady Cove and Sam Valley who live in the $200,000 house or the $150,000 house, but they're still going to go up. So it's a heavy lift to get the bond passed anywhere in the county. But here's the issue. So the way I've explained this before, and raise your hand if you get down the weeds too much on this. In order for the county to float a bond like this, they have to establish a district, a taxing district. We have the library taxing district, we have school districts, we have irrigation, we have the soil and water conservation district. You look at your tax bill and see all these other little taxing districts that are formed. So we have to form a district. In order for the county to form a taxing district, they have to get the consent of all municipalities, Ashland being one of them and a very significant one of them. We had this vote here about 2 months ago, and Ashland sank it on a 4-2 vote. And the people who voted against it wanted to have some more teeth in there when it comes to addiction services, mental health services, and so on, in the actual bond language. And we haven't seen that yet, and we probably aren't going to see that because the sheriff claims that it's really tough to put that in. I suspect that Ashland may vote against this. I'm having some second thoughts about it, too. If there's ever an opportunity to change how we treat people in our culture, I think we found that the incarceration, the old-school incarceration model, is not working, and it's really expensive. Marion County came down and made a presentation. You probably saw it in the paper. You made a presentation. Marion County is the big county around Salem, so they've got, and anybody's been to Salem, is they have their issues up there with a diverse and, in many cases, a troubled population. They have established a 24-hour mental health center that the law enforcement is able to take people who the law enforcement, and in many cases, law enforcement has a social worker with them when they make these interventions, and instead of going to jail and then trying to do some kind of mental health intervention, they go straight to a mental health facility, and there's a whole process, which I don't know exactly, but there's a whole process of intervention that kind of bypasses that first initial jail incarceration piece and takes them right to some mental health help. They've been able to fairly dramatically reduce their jail beds because of that. It isn't quite as clear as that in some issues. One of the reasons they reduce jail, that's because they don't have any funding to open up one wing. So it's kind of a trick. But the long and short of it is people seem to be cheered up by the fact that they came down and made this presentation, that this other model does work. So the political question for me and for the counselors is, does Ashland just go ahead with the same model that's pretty much being with some promises of some better intervention, mental health, and so on? Do we vote to establish a district and then allow the people of the county, including the people of Ashland, to vote on it themselves and make their own determination whether they think it's a good model or whether we ought not to do it or it's too expensive or so on? Or and the optics on this in the rest of the county is probably not good. Does Ashland take the high road, supposedly, and put a stick in the spokes, which we do. If we don't, Ashland doesn't go for it, the thing goes down. It won't even come to the ballot. Put a stick in the spokes of this ballot measure and insist that they come forward with a much stronger, baked-in model of mental health intervention and addiction services interventions that will not be ixnayed the first time a budget cut comes along. It's really kind of baked in. Does Ashland do that? And you can see what the perception, we already have a perception in the rest of the county that we're, you know,
Elitist,
yeah. Preempt the moral high ground, blah, 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 you know, and all that kind of thing. Or is this an opportunity to really affect some change? So, and I'm kind of wrestling with that, too. I voted initially to allow it to go to a district and let the people vote. It seemed like the democratic thing to do. But, you know, sometimes you gotta break an egg.
So there you go. I think the word is lead.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right. And in some cases, that's the case. So it's, I'm still a little bit on the fence on this one here. I'm not quite sure. Some of it will have to do a little bit with how the other councilors vote. I mean, if there's an overwhelming sentiment to with that 4-2 vote, if it's a close, I hope it's not a close vote. I hope it goes one way or the other. If it's a real tight vote, that becomes a little bit of a problem. Okay. City Hall, I think I talked about that last time. Did I talk about it last time? City Hall, staying downtown. The question with City Hall, the next question is, do we knock it to the ground and build a new City Hall that looks very much like this one, or do we try to hollow this one out and make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? I think that the figures are going to come back, and I really hope it comes back that it's cheaper to knock it down and build. And they can make it look, architecture, as you all folks know, they are wonderful. They can make it look however you want to look at it. I like it. Some claim they like to have it be the old brick building with the firehouse underneath, and not that we would put a fire station there, but just that look of the old brick instead of this whitewashed thing that we have now, which I think is really boring and lacking character.
Yeah, lots of opportunities.
Yeah. Okay, so
you're going to get pushback from the
historic
people that want to preserve the building, the shell.
Right. Well, hopefully the physical aspect will speak to them. And the fact that, it isn't like we're going to put up some Frank Lloyd Wright thing. I mean, it's going to be an effort to mollify those folks who make it, look very similar, but be seismically and operationally so much better. So that's those are the high points.
Is that coming up for a vote soon?
We already voted to proceed ahead with the next step, which is to get some numbers back. But what we essentially did was ixnay Briscoe and ixnay Civic Center out here, making a move out there, which in a way, from a budget standpoint, which we're always, we're wrestling with that all the time, it really does possibly put Briscoe on the chopping block.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
On the market block, which means to sell it.
Yeah.
And then there's a big push for some component of affordable housing that would go in there, mm-hmm. and maintain the upper part of the park still, or use it, for some other function. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things we're doing is a big citywide assessment of all our properties. The B Street property, everybody knows the B Street property, it's where they have the trucks and the waste gravel pits, right in the corner of B and Mountain.
Yeah.
That's a very choice piece of property. And we have the Hardesty property, so the goal, the thing to do is try to move the B Street operations down to the Hardesty property, sell the B Street property, and use that revenue for some further capital improvements. Mm-hmm. And
where's the Hardesty property?
Harold Hardest down. Do you know where the dance studio is right in the corner? Right at the bottom of Oak. Way at the bottom of Oak.
Well,
the old
old
gas station in there and all that. That's all Hardesty property. Yeah. So anyway, lots of moving parts, lots of things coming up. So stay with us for further updates from the politically active city of Ashland. Welcome back from the old sod, by the way.
Thank you.
How was your trip?
It was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, very good.
Cool. Is there any more information about the Japanese garden?
It's moving forward. I think it's all good. There seems to be a very positive sentiment for the most part. There's a few outliers, but I think that they're going to be mollified or marginalized a little bit on this one here, because the overwhelming public sentiment is that it's going to move forward, and I think it's really
so glad that was salvaged.
Yeah.
You've got to think that the donor was a kind soul,
yes,
and understanding, and hung with us on this one. So. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Staff liaison Anderson.
So just a few things. Most of it you've already heard or are aware of. In your packet, there's a flyer for the downtown revitalization plan. This open house has already happened. I've sent out a link to all of you that you should have received for a web interface. And it's actually pretty cool. Using GIS, they've created the ability where you can select the type of remark you want to make, whether it's beautification or traffic-oriented, and you can place that on the map where it's your comment is relevant to and make a comment. So there's this online way to facilitate additional public input, and I do believe they're having one more open house, and Tana from Public Works would be a point of contact for that if you were interested, and I can send that link out again if anyone's missing
it. Is there a date on that?
I'm sorry?
Is there a date on that?
The date for the close of the online portion, I believe, is the 20th.
So it's the next meeting?
You know, I don't have offhand the next open house. I know it's coming up, though. Sandy forwarded out an email from Mike on Velocity. Thank you for that. He didn't copy me on it, but it sounds like the ball should be replaced imminently. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. There's an item on the agenda for map contract update, but do you mind if I just speak to it now?
Go ahead.
The most recent update with the map contract is that on November the 6th, the PO requisition was completed. The contract has been signed and completed. I was expecting that the PO would have come through, you know, yesterday or the day before. So we're right in the window of when we're expecting it. I don't want to make a guarantee of how the next process is. Invoice from them, check request, and then we're off to the races.
Okay.
So, imminently is my hope.
So imminently sounds like it's going to be beginning of December. Would you not guess?
I would think that's fair. Because the check request process, I imagine, is going to take at least a week and a half or 2 weeks. And then finally, on web communications, there was an update that was made, and I think I may have spoken to this briefly at the last meeting, where in the interest of personal privacy, this has been done for all the advisory commissions across the city, commissioners' individual emails, which used to be available on the commission webpage, have been removed. The only email that remains is that of the staff liaison and that of the council liaison. And there's an interface where they can click an email to go to a form, click a link to go to a form where they're invited to send a message to the commission. As you might understand, that was originally understood by all of us at the staff level that it went to the commission. In fact, what it does is it sends that form output to the department in which the staff liaison is a part of. We only discovered this in the course of the last month because there was a couple of communications that came in. The reason I'm bringing this up, though, is to potentially get feedback from you all about how you would like to handle these communications moving forward. By the way, Councilor Jensen, this is why you didn't get the packet, was that that has typically been used as a method of distribution.
Right.
So anyway, in the course of the last month, there was exactly two communications that came in this manner, which made us realize, hey, wait a second, this is going to planning staff only. Why is that the case? Because I had assumed it was meant to go directly to all of the commissioners. Apparently, this was done by design with the intention that at the commission's discretion, the staff liaison could either forward those on to you or collect them and hold on to them and present them at the following meeting. The two that came in, one was an inquiry that was simply saying, hey, I'm interested to know if there's currently a call for artists for utility boxes. I noticed that you've painted some of the utility boxes, and she was interested to know if there was currently an ongoing call for artists. I communicated with her and let her know how she could contact the commission, and that she was welcome to come to public forum to address you all directly. And then I think she may have ended up getting a hold of you.
So she went to the city council. At least one counselor, Tanya
Graham. Tanya Hardy.
Sorry, the first thing came to mind.
No, it wasn't Tanya. It was the person that sits next to her.
Who? Julie Akins,
yeah. I think. And then it came to me.
And then it came to you, okay.
So.
And it kind of bounced from me, so.
That's exactly where it came from Steve to me. So you need to be aware that, you know, it's not...
I couldn't have given her more specific information. Here's the link to the Public Art Commission's website. Here's my email address. Please feel free to email me and I will forward it to the commission. Exactly. Or you can show up to the meeting. I could not have given her more express communication on that.
Or so, blah, 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 water, blah, blah, blah.
So anyway, that's a long way of saying that there's a little interest in perhaps reviving the utility box painting. The other inquiry was something that was much more routine. It was simply asking about what the financial structure of the Public Art Commission is and where it gets its funding. And as it came into the planning department, before I ever had a chance to reply to it, Brandon Goldman, one of our senior planners, composed a really nice reply answering the question and asked and answered. I'm more than happy to share his response with all of you if you were interested. But those are two examples of communications that come in, and I'd be looking to you all for a direction of whether you want those in your inboxes immediately or something that's held to the next meeting. And that is all I have.
So I would have an issue with the last one in particular, where a member of the planning staff, and I know and admire Brandon, and know that it was a very good response. But I'm not sure that that's where the response should come from. I think if it's a commission situation, it either should come from you, but I think it should also, there should be a communication about whether a person on the commission wants to respond to it, you want to respond to it. That communication needs to happen rather than someone on planning staff.
Well, in that email and that communique, by the way, was sort of the thing that facilitated us to understand what was happening with these messages, to be clear. So that's why I'd put it to you all, and it sounds like you'd prefer they come to the body.
That's my thought. Other comments?
I have a comment, too, that basically endorses that idea, so that, if nothing else, we need to be collectively aware of what's going out, even if it is a glowing response, you know, the opportunity to be stopped and questioned about something that we don't know about would be difficult.
I would say any trend that seeks to separate the commissioners from being involved in a large process like that, anything the city can do to narrow that chasm would be good. I'm feeling like there's more of a trend to where, you know, you guys need to respect the place that you are as volunteers and don't meddle in affairs. And so I think it's important to narrow that gap. Communication is the quickest way to do it.
Steve,
I would support Andy's sentiments there. I don't know where. I understand the security piece, but it seemed like there's a little bit of an unnecessary firewall there. Like, for instance, like the email that asked about the funding, I would like to see who that came from. We live in a small town, and there's some other agendas out there, and so on and so on. And how that's replied to can have some nuance that the chair or somebody on the commission or myself should be aware of. So my question to you, Aaron, is, to your understanding, is each commission being asked to tailor how they would like this email traffic to be handled, or is there going to be a uniform process?
My understanding is that the uniform policy process is that on all of the commission's web pages, the form that is available to communicate with the commission is by design sent to the address for the department in which the staff liaison is a part of. The reason for that, rather than sending it directly to the staff liaison, is if I were to be suddenly hit by a bus, we wouldn't want those being missed. And that is the part that I understand has been made uniform across the city. And so the decision, the discretion part is, does the commission want to either receive those electronically as they come in? And that means that I have to go back to my department and make them aware, hey, don't touch these emails even though they're coming to you. That's been a decision that's been made by administration. But the decision is whether I would bring them to the group on a monthly basis or bring them to the group in an iterative process electronically. And that one obviously is fraught with the potential of creating an electronic quorum by emailing it to everyone, and then do we BCC, and then who's replying? And so that one is fraught with those sort of electrical communication issues. But I also am understanding that why it's important that a response that is being sent to the Public Art Commission come from the Public Art Commission. And again, this was the thing that made us realize this was an issue to be discussed.
So I'm going to make a generalization that I'm on behalf of the commission, and add to it or correct me when I'm done, that when a communication comes in to the planning department related to the Public Arts Commission, it is communicated to you and to the council liaison and to the commission chair. And then the decision is made where it goes from there.
Whether it's brought to the whole commission then, or it can be handled, just because it's a technical question, it could just be handled simply. But if it's a philosophical discussion, it needs to come to the whole group.
Yeah, or even just an FYI.
Yeah.
Aaron made a good point about, and we can wrestle this with the council, is this whole idea of an electronic quorum. So let's say something comes to you, and you kick it out to the commission. Let's say it's something that is time sensitive. You kick it out as an FYI here, and then Allison responds, and then Tom responds, and then, you know, like, then you really run the danger of open meeting laws.
I believe it's only dangerous if you respond to all. But if they respond individually, so you may have noticed that's what I've been doing, is just sending out statements, and I don't expect people to discuss it, you know, online or respond back. So I think that issue is resolved by not having a respond to all.
No reply all,
right.
Period.
Right.
Never use reply all.
In your personal life, too, probably.
Well, I mean, I just don't. that button's been mixed out.
Good point. But I would resist any attempt at having something go to a staff member, and the staff member replies, and then, but it's not like we've taken care of that problem. That we really need to have as much transparency and lack of discretionary interceptions that we're all not aware of.
And to that end, I'm more than happy to go run off copies of this part, and you'd see the inquiry and the response that each of you can see.
Why don't you just read it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that. The form field was from a woman by the name of Heather Gleason. I can't pronounce her last name. I'm sorry. Biesanz. Subject. I'm sorry.
That's probably Jesse Bassan's wife.
Yeah. Subject: funding. Message: hi, I have some questions about the financial structure of the commission has with the city. Can the commission fundraise? How does the commission handle grants? Is the commission allowed to accept cash donations? Thank you. Brandon Goldman replied, Heather, the Public Arts Commission in Ashland is funded through the city's general fund. There was a link to the budget. As you see on the linked budget page, the annual expenditures fluctuate as the public arts program line item typically collects funds over several years before enough money is available to solicit a significant public art project. The dedication of funding to public art is approved during the city's biannual budget process and is typically includes a portion of the transit occupancy tax intended to support tourism. The commission can indeed apply for grants, and if awarded, those funds could be dedicated to the public art program for the purposes outlined in the grant. Similarly, a cash donation could also be accepted and dedicated to the acquisition or maintenance of public art projects. However, in recent years, we've been fortunate to have individuals donate the costs associated with a public art project through direct compensation of the artists, independent of the city budget process, i.e. the Guanataro mural on the Cal Guanataro. Am I saying that right?
Guanajuato.
Thank you. In such cases, the Public Art Commission and the City Council approve of the proposed artwork and accept the work as a contribution to the public art program. I hope this helps you address your question, Brandon.
So that was the question and the reply.
So the second part of it, after the... He took a long time to get to this TOT funds. I think that, you know, as part of the city's budget process and so forth, you know, there's a real direct shortcut to that. So had we been responding to it, I think we would have made more of an emphasis of where that fund comes from and how it's separated from the rest of the city and so forth, because that was a little, you know, let's see.
Wordy.
Yeah, it wasn't as direct and succinct as I think it should have been.
Sure.
Yeah. All extremely accurate, especially, you know, the section about grants and all that. That was terrific. So, having said that, I would expect that you and Steve and I would construct a different response to that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I could add to that. I think that whole funding tier needs to be posted someplace permanently on the city website.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
Is that on the PR project that I'm working on, one of the categories that I've identified for information that should be released is how the funding for the sculptures work. It's a hot topic, you know, if you dabble at all with looking at Ashland Peeps or something like that.
You know,
I mean, you just see the level of nastiness about how they feel that their hard-earned tax dollars are being squandered away on pieces of art that they don't agree with. And it's just so not grounded in reality. And it's so that if there's a way that we can head that off at the pass with just a fixed page that describes our funding process.
So we have a fixed page, and okay. If you would like to make a subpage to it that addresses funding, I have access to the back end, and one of my associated duties as staff liaison is to help maintain that web presence. So if you have something that you wanted to add there, either on that page or on a subpage, let me know. It may not be on the top of my priority list, but I could certainly make that happen.
That's great timing for today being strategic planning, because we could certainly add that task into something that needs to happen.
Well, it's a tricky thing with web presences, because, you know, all the commissions do have those web pages, and depending on the commission, some of those pages are a little out of date. And it's a thing that for it to be a useful resource, it does need to be relevant.
Yep.
You're almost better off not to have a web page if you can't keep it up to date.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes,
you know.
This lady speaks so badly to inattention and lack of, you know, lack of good understanding within an organization if they let their website get
right.
out of date.
But on the other hand, it's a great opportunity for sparkle, too. You look at what the citizen comes and look at a web page, and it is current and informative and succinct. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sandy, do you want to perhaps put forward a motion that memorializes what we were talking about with communication?
Mm-hmm. So are there any other comments on the statement that I made earlier? Okay, then I would move that when a email communication comes in relative to the Public Arts Commission, that it be directed to the staff liaison of the Public Arts Commission, who then determines the relevance of including the of discussing it with the council liaison and the chair of the commission to determine the process or something. Work on that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And should we include just in it, or you would decide to FYI the rest of us?
I think it'd be a mutual. It would be a mutual decision of the three entities: staff, council liaison, and public and council commission chair, on how to proceed. Does that sound fine? Okay. All right. So.
I have a question on the motion. I don't know.
Can I get a second first, and then I'll take questions? Someone seconded?
Second.
Okay.
Just a point of clarification. Would Aaron have any discretion on whether to forward an email to you and I, or are they all automatically forwarded?
The way I understood Sandy's... So, first of all, the email is coming to the entire planning department. That nothing can be done about that. I will speak to the planning department to make sure they understand that they should not address those emails. What I understood your motion to be would be that when an email came in, I would forward it to you and to you for a determination of whether it would be replied to from one of the three of us or collectively or bring it to the commission. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I think there's some... So... First of all, could you include in your motion that when an email comes into the planning department that it should be directed to the staff liaison of the Public Art Commission, just to formalize
okay.
that. Okay. And then to your other question, I would be up for giving you discretion about if it's just a inquiry and it doesn't need to have either of our input. You are the deciding, you would be empowered to decide whether to seek additional input or whether to respond directly. Do you need further direction on that? Or are you pretty comfortable with that?
I just wanted to get this right so I could read it back.
Yeah. Does that sound okay with everybody?
Absolutely.
Sure. Steve,
all right.
Are you good with that? Okay.
So this is what I currently have down. Please feel free to ask me to amend it. The motion would be that an email from the PAC webpage to planning, it shall be directed to the staff liaison, whom will determine if a response is appropriate or that input should be consulted further with the chair and or council liaison. Does that accurately capture what was discussed?
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor of that?
Do we need a second?
We have a second from Allison.
Perfect.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Can I have a question, when is appropriate?
Sure.
You said that, Aaron, that the email addresses have been taken down?
On the web page, there are no longer public-facing addresses for the individual commissioners. That's correct.
Why is that?
It was brought up as a privacy concern. That there were some people that had specific emails that they had set up for their commission work and personal emails. And this has been a conflict for some time with some commissioners not wanting to have multiple email addresses, but then having a concern about having their personal email address out there. And so an effort to have uniformity and consistency across the advisory commissions was why this change was made.
Thank you.
And lucky for you,
that.
You were not here in some of our more controversial times where you would have received email that you may not have wished.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Okay.
I went through the hassle of setting up a specific
right.
email address, and I didn't
yeah.
feel good about having to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Is that pretty much your...
Yeah, I'm sorry. That ran much longer than I expected.
Okay. All right. Parks Liaison Heller, do you have anything to report?
Touché.
Let it be noted that there was no report from Parks Liaison Heller. Okay, Hub Sculpture RFQ. So the copy that you received is the same that we have been talking about and moving forward with for several iterations here, with the exception of the fact that I totally obliterated the verbiage under the project, and Tom inserted his new verbiage per our request for him to do that. Further under project process, Tom inserted another clarification, both of which you see in blue if you printed.
Just a point of it's very hard to read when it's in dark blue.
Yeah, I see that. It's always interesting that it looks great on your computer
screen, yeah.
And when you print it, it's like, what happened?
So I have an idea that I'd like to put forward. The items in blue, I mean, it's great that it says anchoring 5 historic plaques. The issue that I have with that is that it sounds like 5 is where it ends and 5 is where it's beginning.
Oh,
in actuality.
So you took out 5.
So what I want to avoid is having the prospective artist feel like, oh, they told me that this is anchoring 5. I had no idea the scope of the map project is going to be so much bigger. Because if they know that this is just the start of something that big, they could feel more revved up about it, perhaps. You might get better response. But and also, they deserve to know the scope of the MAP project going into this thing, that it's much, much larger than just 5. So if there's a way to change the verbiage to do that, the other thing that I was in, that seems like a natural solution to that would be in the attachments to this RFQ, give them the whole MAP project outline so that they know that there's 4 districts, that there's going to be 4 sculptures, that there's going to be approximately 40 or 50 spoke sites. Give them that whole thing to work with. Then it could just be an attachment, and we don't have to belabor the verbiage in this. We could pare it down and say, see attachment to the MAP project.
You could just say 5 initial.
Initial, plots. Exactly.
I have a suggestion that we consider saying 5 historic sites rather than
plaques.
Rather than medallions. So that would take care of that.
5 initial site, historic sites.
We could say that, or we could say historic sites. We don't have to say that there's 5.
Or could you say starting with 5 to add as time goes by?
So
that's why I thought initial might work.
Yeah.
Especially if you said see addendum or whatever. The initial 5 historic sites.
Oh, 10 or 20 or whatever it's going to be. 30.
I think you. All right. So if it's initial 5, I think you have to qualify it as Jeff is suggesting.
But that's what I was trying to avoid, was make that so complicated in the body that it's all part of the
attachment.
So
then why don't we just say anchor historic sites? Why do we need a number?
Or a larger historic project.
A number of historic sites?
Yeah, number of.
How do you want to qualify that?
Because I think you're right about, Andy, about people would be more excited to know it's part of a larger process and that they're work will be incorporated as time goes by.
Well, that's where you would say see MAP project outlined below or something like that.
I'm going to suggest that that's not a appropriate thing to do to describe it in the project.
Sweet, right up front,
right.
Short and sweet.
Right.
Okay.
That's great to put someplace else, but the initial project description, and, you know, correct me if you have another thought based on our past experience, is just, it's going to come into an artist, he wants to decide whether or not he's going to pursue this. And there's that description that it needs to be compelling for him without, you know, you have to look farther and check this all out.
How about anchoring numerous historic sites?
I totally like that.
And perhaps even in this RFQ before the project, just so that they're informed, it should just say, this RFQ applies, is a part of the MAP project, see attachment, so that perhaps somebody looking at the RFQ would look over the MAP project first and to be familiar with what it is that we're trying to do with
we'll
the RFQ.
We'll contribute to a larger project or...
So this actually leads me to suggest that maybe we describe the MAP project in the first two lines before we go on, or that has to, I agree with you. I think that a full description of the project needs to be right here in this.
This is part of a larger project that will blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to wordsmith that.
Okay.
I also would like to consider adding, the commission seeks to commission an artist team to design and fabricate rather than create. And I don't know if we need to say design, fabricate, and install, because that's really what we're talking about here. Is install a word that needs to be as part of this?
Well, I would say maybe ready-made to be installed. Because isn't the city actually physically installing it?
No, the artist will install it.
You're talking about the...
Hub sculpture?
Right. I mean, they're not going to actually attach it to the physical nature of the city. I mean, with the cement or whatever.
The city prepares the space, but the... artist attaches
but
it.
Still, it's permitted or by the city regulations of what would be the standard practice of installing and for safety.
So,
like that.
So my understanding from our past experience is that the artist needs to submit drawings, engineering drawings, to be approved for permitting first, and if the city. The city then probably takes responsibility for doing the base, for instance, and installing the base. But the artist needs to show up with his crew to connect it.
And this
has been our practice in the past.
Isn't there somebody that would from the city then come and say, yes, you've done it the right way?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was
getting.
They work in concert with the city.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah. So anyway, so in any case, they're going to be designing, fabricating, and installing. Do you think that's an appropriate thing to have there?
I would say in concert with. No.
Installing.
No, that comes later.
Okay.
How about a design? Fabricate and engineer the installation. So they know they're responsible for the engineering part, and then later the installation itself is in concert with the city.
Well, they're also engineering the piece itself as well,
well
as the installation.
Yeah.
I think an artist that we would...
would already know that.
Would agree, would already know that, right, and would have had that experience multiple times.
Okay. We hope.
And this is just a preamble to give context and all that.
All
the details of design, fab, and installation would come down the road.
Okay. Another kind of little wordsmithing thing that I'm wanting you to consider is A contemporary freestanding site-specific sculpture that will serve as a focal point. Not mentioning historic district there because we're mentioning it at the end of the sentence. Anchoring numerous historic sites located within the Ashland Historic Railroad District.
So you're moving historic down into...
Yeah.
So you're only using the word once?
Yeah.
Well,
to commemorate
we're using
the historic Ashland Railroad District, right?
So what I was suggesting was freestanding site-specific sculpture that will serve as a focal point, anchoring numerous historic sites within the Ashland Historic Railroad District.
I like that.
I do too. I think that makes that's
yeah.
clearer to me anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, then left to be said is probably following this project is a portion of, you know, create a little more verbiage to describe that it's maybe a sentence or two, that it's a phase of a larger project.
This is the second phase in the MAP project, the ongoing MAP project or something like that.
And a little further description of what the MAP project is.
So do you want that as initially you had suggested that one of the attachments be an outline of that? So it would just be a reference to C attachment or something like that?
No, I think that there should be a little more description, and somebody can take one sentence or two sentences to delineate the fact that there is a entire project, and this is a portion of it.
And have that precede the project?
I think following, because what we want to say initially is what the artist wants to see. And then, oh, and by the way, this is a phase of a larger project.
It's a component.
Component, thank you.
Okay, so then after the project, we insert the, basically the invitational paragraph to the MAP project, but then I would suggest that at the close of that paragraph you say see attachment A, and so then in that attachment you would include all the districts, all the spoke sites.
We might say that we might reference that. I think just I would consider different verbiage than see attachment. I would be a little more fulsome in my description at that point. Mm-hmm. And then you could say the entire project is described under attachments. So we'll write that. Okay. Working through the rest of the RFQ, did you see anything else, pick up anything else that needs conversation?
Yeah, I did. Under the Phase 3 commission of artwork, I thought we were going to mention something about the scale so that they would know what the $25,000 realistically addressed.
I agree with you, and I believe that was part of our site visit today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you're right. There's no mention of it there. So, let's see. Deliverance and site. Okay. The award must cover all costs. So somewhere, is that the place where we want to put it? The description of the parameters? The size parameters?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. So we'll just add that in. Okay. What else?
The within 2 weeks, where does that belong? Does that belong? It's kind of hanging out there by itself.
Yeah, so the pre-contract conversation between the finalists and the PAC, including review of proposed medallion design, needs to happen within 2 weeks of March 6th. So let's add by
March 20th?
Six, yeah, okay.
Is that correct that it says medallion design?
Yeah.
Isn't this for the hub?
Oh.
It certainly is.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're done with the medallions.
Okay. You have proposed sculpture design.
Also, this doesn't mention anything about lighting and whether the artist is responsible for lighting as part of the design or whether that comes afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Good, really good point. So let me just segue for a second to a conversation that I had with Adam Hanks yesterday. It has to do with looking at budgeting possibilities for PAC projects for the next 8 or 9 years, which included an estimate of dollars for the medallion portions and the hub sculpture, the spokes and the hub sculpture for each of the districts, and a major sculpture for the PAC someplace in town. And Adam is taking on, so I began to write up the notes of the meeting yesterday and inadvertently did not save them and have not had time to go back. So I'm going to send you a total compilation of the discussion of what occurred yesterday. But in order to find the cost of lighting design, specifications, fixtures, and installation, as well as landscape design, specifications, plant purchases, and so forth. How does that happen was part of my conversation yesterday, and the decision was that when we get to a point where we have everything laid out, as we almost do now, we will go to Adam, who is the assistant city manager, and he will work with us, or he will, he can, he's happy to come to a meeting and work with us to figure out who best can do the lighting design and specifications, for instance. Mm-hmm. Can that be done in-house with the electric department? Can the electric department install it? What are the other implications of running cable and so forth to that installation, along with the same sorts of questions with landscape?
And security camera.
I didn't deal with a security camera because all of this, the bottom line of all of this is that everything we do needs to be paid for out of PAC funds. Now, how that happens, whether it's separately, whether there's some funding that can still come in from beautification, the city beautification, whether the funding that we now have for our ordinance of 3% of the TOT funds is adequate, that is all under discussion pretty soon. But what I wanted to say about, that's a long way of getting back to the lighting question, is we need, if we want lighting to be part of this process, is it included in the $30,000? Meaning, do we ask them to specify to hire a lighting designer and specify the lighting, and then the city will purchase it and install it? So we have to decide at this point what we want with regard to landscaping and lighting in order to, A, figure out what the artist is responsible for, which would only be lighting, it would not be, but it could be landscaping. We could ask them to hire a landscape designer, which makes no sense to me, but we certainly could do that. So, long answer to your question is, do we want the artist to be responsible for specifying lighting fixtures and the lighting layout for this project?
Boy, that's the potential for that being a little outside of their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would suggest that I'm sure on other projects, they have hired lighting designers and have, we would not expect them to do it. Yeah, that's what I did not mean to infer that. So that would be, you know, maybe another $3,000-$5,000. Or do we want to control it ourselves? There's a number of good lighting designers in town that we can talk to and set the level of complexity for the lighting layout and fixtures. And I sort of recommend that that's the option that we consider.
Yeah, it would be good to bring them in at some point so that the artist could work with them, and or at least feel that they've had an input into the lighting and the landscaping. And instead of, you know, putting the piece there and then going to the lighting and the landscaping.
Right.
Usually the artist will have a lighting design in mind that they'll recommend, or the art would be built in such a way to reflect their lighting concerns. But
so
the city or the parks or whatever would be responsible for the physical space because they own it. So a lighting conduit or lighting responsibility would be the city. Same thing with this.
Correct.
With the landscaping could be parks, and lighting could be engineering. I'm not sure, but it would. But the artist would put in a request. And though some sculptures will have lighting as part of it, so if the sculpture has light in it, then it would have to have a conduit. So it would have to be understood that there could be maybe no light connection. I mean, connections to the sculpture that the artist could use.
Okay. All good information for us to discuss right now.
Right.
Do we want to say that we don't want any lighting as part of the sculpture? And then we could state that we will have a local lighting designer do a design and layout, and we'll consult with them. So where I'm going with this is they're building hours into this whole thing and their cost.
Yeah.
So they need to know if they're going to spend 2 hours. They're not going to do a lighting design. They're not going to employ a lighting designer. So those two pieces of money don't have to be considered as part of whether they want to do this or not. But they need to build an hour of consulting time in just to review the lighting done by a local designer.
Well, I would say that the local designer would not do the lighting. The artist would make the requirement that this is the way the light needs to be on that artwork.
Not every artist is going to have that skill set,
I
think.
A lot of sculptures won't even need any lighting. So we don't know that neither.
What did you just say?
Well, some sculptures may not need lighting specifically because the artist is using available lighting, single source light or sunlight.
But you're going to need lighting at night as a safety feature. You don't want somebody walking into the sculpture.
That'd be a landscaping lighting, which is different than artistic light.
How satisfied were you with the way the lighting for Threshold worked out? I mean, Susan's description of the lighting was real specific. Would you want to treat this hub sculpture differently than how Threshold was done?
Okay, a personal evaluation of that lighting is that the light sources are too big and too obvious and draw your eye to the light sources if you are at ground level. If you are driving by, you see it overhead. So much better fixtures could have been specified. She did not specify fixtures. That came out of the electric department. And considered too big?
I thought I saw in the initial plans recessed lighting.
This is not recessed lighting.
I know, but that's what I thought. Yeah. Was
that's the point.
Right.
That's So somehow we have to indicate to the artist that he, she needs to specify what type of lighting, mm-hmm. not the design itself, but what type of lighting they want to best show off their work.
Right. So, if the artist says, you know, it would really be great if we had overhead lighting coming from three sources.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get where you're going. We need to just narrow that a little bit.
Yeah.
Tom?
So, velocity. It wasn't stipulated, was it, whether or not... Let me back up. When you started asking this question, you were sort of throwing a little bit out there regarding money, like $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 working with a lighting designer, right? So what you were starting to say to me suggested that, are we going to saddle the artist with this financial piece regarding lighting, right? Is that what you were saying? Mm-hmm. Or whether we would do that as the commission? That's what
right.
I was curious about.
Saddle is not exactly the right word. Do we provide them enough money? Do we enhance what we think it will cost to provide the sculpture? Do we provide them with extra money and ask them to hire a lighting designer, is my question.
And this is confusing me because I'm thinking, it sounded like you had said early on $30,000 roughly, and I'm looking at $25,000 to design, deliver, and install a freestanding sculpture. So I'm just getting clarification. What you're saying is, in addition... So this $25,000 is going to get us X. And if it's going to be lit, it's going to cost more. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, this $25,000 general fund here is probably not enough to get us a sculpture that's lit.
This is not a budget amount. This is just the amount we're providing to the artist to do it. Our budget is a bigger and outside thing.
Okay.
I don't know, this number, does that still hold up 25, or did we move on to a larger number?
That depended on the scale.
It isn't also...
Yeah. I'm sorry, Richard.
It depended on the scale, to some extent, of the piece.
So we haven't really finalized that?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
But also the $1,500 that is awarded to each artist, isn't that included?
That's where you... I think that's where...
Did we go up to $30,000, another $500?
That's it, yeah. Okay.
Plus $500... miscellaneous or something. Makes it 30.
So it's 4,500, right?
But normally I would say that the lighting infrastructure would be the responsibility of the site, whatever that site responsibility is authorized by. So the artist wouldn't be responsible.
Clarify what you meant for that.
Oh, well, you could have an artist installing art on private property, our public property, but they wouldn't be responsible for the infrastructure that brings the lighting
of
to it.
Of course not. No, right.
They could say, okay, I'm going to design this artwork, and it's meant to have a reflective side, so they put that in their artistic presentation to us, and then when we make a decision, do we say, well, this one needs too much lighting, we're going to pass on it.
Okay, so, you know, one of the issues with designing lighting is you need to be at the site. You can't adequately design in by pictures and all of that. We're not wanting people to send a lighting designer or themselves to the site. This is no site visits in this whole project. So maybe we entertain Jeff's idea of asking for a recommendation as part of the their scope of work. They recommend what type of lighting the sculpture needs, you know, in their view needs to have. And I don't know if that puts us in a tough spot of... What are you thinking, Richard?
Well, you're sending photographs to them of the site from all several directions. I would imagine that would be part of the packet that you would send them. I, I don't know if that's enough for them to actually design lighting for the entire piece.
You also have to add in at some point, I think, a timer so that it goes off at a certain time at
yeah,
night.
Yeah.
Because neighborhoods and
that's the portion design. That I'm suggesting that Adam said that he yeah. would undertake. That
right.
we don't need to do that. I had stepped out and was going to talk to Mike Cook, who is part of the electric department, who I work with on the threshold project, and that's when Adam said, you know, it's going to take you multiple appointments, and the staff is not going to know how much they need to talk to you about. Let me handle that. I can make that happen really quickly. So it seems like a really good way to handle projects from now on. Okay.
It just seems to me that the more cumbersome it is for the artist, the fewer applications you're going to get, and maybe you're going to discourage some really good designs from a young artist that doesn't have the skill set yet to deal with lighting or landscape.
Would be seasonal lighting, because if you had a timer that goes off at 9 o'clock at night and during the summer,
it would be light sensitive, probably
something like that. But you wouldn't want it really. I don't think lit up past 10 o'clock anyway, because I think the park closes or something.
So what you're putting out are all these design qualifications that a lighting designer would be able to deal with, and we're not going to be asking our artist.
Is there a way to say if the piece needs a specific
need for
type of lighting, please include that in your design or something like that, so that they have a chance to have some input or even to think about how light will affect their work, but not asking them to do the full design. Just if you have a suggestion or something, you know, just open the door to lighting as part of this deal without putting too much onus on them.
Some sculptures have their own battery kind of system that puts on lights.
I think we're not going to ask them to illuminate their own sculpture.
I'd like Richard's comment about we want to make this as least cumbersome as possible for the initial. And then the other piece I like is the very general input on the part of the artist for lighting requirements, and then we bring it home.
Yeah.
We bring it here to a local lighting designer. The City of Ashland Electric Department and Mike Cook is very able to follow ideas. And
right.
it's going to be done,
yeah.
I suspect... Adam's going to make sure that it's done in-house and probably fairly dramatically cheaper than Pacific Electrical Contractors or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think cut to the chase on this. We should
head
that direction.
So to say if there is a specific suggestion about lighting, please include it. But that doesn't say you must.
Yeah, and I'm going to even say if there's a general suit instead of specific.
Oh, okay.
General. Because I also see our being compelled to do something, or we're disappointing the artist, you know. Mm-hmm. We asked you for your input, now we're not doing it. So
that's a good point.
Tom?
So let's say we open the door, and an artist says, well, yeah, I do have this notion of lighting, whatever. Back to the dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Do at some point then, do we disclose the options and the dollar figures associated with those options, meaning that, well, we can control this or we can take care of that. In other words, how does that... I'm still a little bit uncertain on how the artist...
We're not going to deal with that.
We're not going to deal with that.
We just decided we're not going to deal with that. We're going to ask the artist for a general statement of how they think their sculpture could best be illuminated, given the parameters of the site. You know, I mean, that's a little... round that you don't get much, and if you put lighting directly underneath it, it's, you know, it has all variety of effects that you may or may not want to have happen. So I think the lighting professional is the one that needs to deal with that most effectively, and I think our conclusion now is we're going to ask them for a general statement
regarding illumination.
So, thinking
Thank you.
Some of that can be handled in the conference call with the finalists. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to deal with every right. Design that way.
Right. And since we're not paying them for it, that's this where this whole yeah. thing is going. If I'm not clear, I'm sorry. Is are we adding dollars to this to ask them to go out for a professional?
That's what
And the more we ask for a professional opinion, that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, oh, my God, I can't do this myself. Okay, so we've decided we're not going to do that.
We'd be spending money that is redundant with what we're going to wind up having to pay
right.
in-house.
And I think it's going to be invaluable in many cases because the person who's doing the speccing isn't going to be coming down here. And, you know, so, okay. Thank
with
you.
With this particular site, the vegetation is pretty dense, and I do not see that changing. So,
okay.
Can they make a site visit at their expense if they want?
At their expense, certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not ruling that out.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And it is West Coast, so they're
yeah.
relatively close, and we're very central. So
yeah.
They want to see a play or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So our notes need to reflect that in the pre-contract conference call, we talk about the lighting. Mm-hmm. Their lighting concepts. Yeah. And just
if they have any suggestions.
I think it also be important to say no holograms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Virtual sculpture.
Yeah.
What else within the current RFQ needs additional information? I'm going to answer my question right away by asking, under attachments, what specifically are we adding for attachments on the last page?
No.
Do you want the full map project outline that was presented to the parks?
Mm-hmm. I want the map project outline as your committee has described it, whether it was the original one or...
Okay.
As you understand it.
I've got that pretty concise.
Map
so,
project description.
Yep.
Okay. Site photos and site plan. What else?
Do those photos indicate where other hub sculptures are going to be? Or only this hub sculpture?
Does it have a map?
No, there are no photos of other spoke sites yet.
Also, I might say that it might be good, though, to add in the two existing ones that are there, just so they get an idea that there's
the two
other sculptures, ones. Public sculptures.
What are they?
Veracity and...
Why would that matter?
No? Well, they get an idea of...
No. Because this is a standalone. This needs to reflect the historic district, the historic railroad district.
Yeah, it really functions differently, I guess.
Okay, so then what needs to happen is we need to complete the project description with some verbiage about the total scope of the map project. Yeah. That's one thing. We need to add in the dimensions that we believe are appropriate for the sculpture.
Yet to be determined.
To be determined this afternoon.
I've got a question on attachments. Piper is a landscape architect that sits on the map project. Would you like me to ask her whether do you want a landscape schematic of the proposed site?
So there's some kind of a structural thing that outlines that circle. And we're assuming that the whole interior of that is going to be flushed out.
Well,
we can look this afternoon.
It may not need to be. I mean, it's
all right, so
we'll look, but that's the point.
But what about including, or does your concise map project little thing include a map of A Street showing where the plaques are so that they can get a feel for the physical. Okay.
Well, you did that.
Well, that's what I thought, and I wasn't. but I wasn't sure whether that was going to be part of what you included here.
I wasn't going to have a PowerPoint.
Well, not.
But that's how you did it.
Yeah, but just include just a map of A Street showing the sites so that the artist has a sense that this is. There's going to be this line of blocks that run for a few blocks along A Street, and it kind of focuses. Then you end up in the park with this hub sculpture. So they just have a physical sense of what its relationship is to the existing plaques.
And so could I suggest that maybe we're not emphasizing the plaques so much as the sites along A Street? Because
the plaques won't show, but just say XXX. You know, here are going to be things, well, whatever.
No, really, it's a different thing that I'm suggesting. Like, what they need to know is, if we say we're connecting the sites, anchoring sites, then they should see a picture of the this and that and that, what those sites are and their physical location, rather than just the medallions.
I wasn't thinking about the medallions at all. I was just, it was strictly a map. But I don't know that what is there is going to give a photograph of what's there now is going to give the artist anything.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Would it be fine to do an overlay of the original building that was there that we are commemorating, so to speak?
In other words, include some of Terry's photographs of the original site.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Because that would give, hopefully inspire, I don't know. Because this is a contemporary piece. I don't want them to get caught up in the fact that they have to make this look historic. This is a contemporary piece.
Good point.
And so I'm thinking, we've already said it needs to be railroad inspired. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that would be enough.
Okay.
Because the plaques are taking care of the history. This is a contemporary piece. This is
now. Yep.
Not excellent in the past.
Right. Okay, so can we give direction to Andy about what we would like you from your committee to bring to as an attachment? I'm figuring we're going to finalize this next month because we said we were going to put it out January 1 or 2 or whatever. So what attachments do you want Andy to bring?
I think just what it says here, site photos and site plan and the map project outline. I don't think we need to deal with anything more because otherwise it feels like, to me, the artist would feel restricted in some way. I want him to feel like this is a contemporary piece. I can do what my inspiration says as long as there is some hook that connects it to the idea of the railroad.
Yeah, and totally agree. I just want to clarify that what I was thinking was, what do we want this map to show?
I'm wondering whether we need the map at all except the site, the railroad park site.
Oh.
I'm wondering now, I'm rethinking what I said.
Okay.
If we're not trying to lay that historic trip on them, the plaques take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
The only possibility would be the railroad line and A Street, and simply an X marks the spot where there will be plaques. You don't need to know what they look like. You don't need to know what the historic buildings look like. This is the contemporary piece. Mm-hmm. This is its physical relationship to these sites. Mm-hmm. The main thing is the park.
Mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right on. Okay, anybody have any other comments?
So do I limit that just to the historic district and leave the other three districts out, or do we want to make a footnote that the map project will include these other three districts?
You're doing the total description of the map project. That's one discrete attachment.
Bullet point.
Yeah.
But the photos and the site plan should just
be the historic
Yeah. Okay, but in the map project description, we want the whole, all four districts. At the specific spoke sites, like, they're described as being, for example, the Winchester House, as we get to the Siskiyou-Hargadine district, Winchester House, and put in parentheses the addresses for each one, so that if they were curious, all they would have to do would be to Google it, and they could see, because as it stands right now, none of these specific sites have addresses.
Yeah, I think that'd be incredibly helpful.
Okay.
What else?
Is there an aerial view of the park, a photo?
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff. They could do Google Maps, and get, do satellite view, so you could get. That's what I did for my PowerPoint presentation. Is that I just screenshots of Google.
Could we do that for them so that they don't have to spend a lot of time going online and doing
it? It's worth pointing out that the city's GIS and aerial imagery is far higher resolution than you'll get from Google Maps.
Yeah.
And that's public-facing on the GIS service.
Well, can you do a screenshot of
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Can we ask you to do that?
Yeah, that's a problem. Should I send that to you, Andy?
Sure. So we're just talking about you just wanted an aerial shot of
that general area.
Of
the
that
park.
Railroad park where the hub sculpture is going to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if there's a jungle gym somewhere over there.
There is.
Yeah, it's right next to it.
So they need to know that that's in proximity to the space.
And if you do the whole thing, the satellite image shows it very clearly where the old roundhouse was. And that might be kind of interesting, too, just because it's not that far away, two blocks away or something like that.
But it's also in no trespassing zone.
What's that got to do with it?
Well,
in other words, I'm just saying that the satellite view, if it shows the railroad and where the railroad, it's not important.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? So, I will make the changes, the verbal changes that we've talked about. Under project schedule, it instead of within 2 weeks, it'll say by March 20th, including review of proposed sculpture design. What about the other dates? Some of that has to do with how fast the city can crank this out, and maybe that's something you could.
In terms of getting the funding for the $1,500.
Yeah. So we're at preliminary design contract issued to the finalists.
Mm-hmm. Is that when they would receive the stipend?
Yes.
I don't need to speak to Adam about what the expected time frame is to get that sort of funding released.
Then the proposals are due. Then we schedule a selection panel, and we could do that. We could set ourselves a date for the selection panel. And then do you think it's possible to put down a possible approval by recommendation of City Council? Can we put that out a ways?
Well, so that's going to depend on what the look-ahead schedule is. And Steve, I'd ask you to speak to that more than me, because I know there's the look-ahead shifts depending on what priorities the council is addressing, right?
Well, this would probably go on the consent agenda, which is essentially rubber-stamped unless somebody wants to pull it and they have a bigger question about it or something. And the consent agenda can be pretty loaded up with pro forma stuff, and it's done all the time to approve this contract or to approve something or other. So it wouldn't take up a chunk of, I wouldn't think this item would take up pretty little time with the City Council.
And are you thinking that the City Council would not want to see the presentation in person we didn't schedule it, so that's not going to happen? I retract my question.
Okay.
In the past, they've asked the artist to show up because we funded an artist to come. Right. Now we're not funding the artist to come and make the presentation.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know that. We're just going to do
drawings. I guess the only hiccups that some members of council might have would be not to end up with the chaos we had in the threshold and so on and so on. So there might be some council members, me not being one of them, that are nervous about Public Art Commission judgment.
So if it would appear on the consent agenda and someone pulls it and they say, you know, I got to see what that looks like in person. I need to hear from the artist.
Right.
Then all bets are off.
Right.
And we have to figure out who's going to fund them to come to town.
Right.
And the schedule is going to shift dramatically. So we'll hope that that won't happen.
Right.
And
right.
We'll stick with the consent agenda.
Right. Right.
Idea.
The important part for the consent agenda, just from my limited experience on the council, would be to have your submission staff and your little piece that goes in our packet
to
sparkle.
Okay.
Yeah. And then to have either Aaron or I available to answer questions.
Yep. Yeah. Perfect.
Before we start etching these dates and things in concrete, there's an element here that I need to deal with in terms of the MAP project and bringing Historic up to speed with what we're doing. We've done the heavy lifting on the RFQ, and that's great, but I don't want to slip them the Trojan horse and say, guess what? This is happening. So Aaron, what would be the appropriate way to do that? Basically, Dale is the really the only person that's going to have an opinion about stuff. Can I just go to him directly and say, Dale, let's meet. This is what we've got going. Look it over if you've got if you want your input on this stuff. Let me know. Invite him to a meeting here but I don't necessarily believe that a whole MAP meeting needs to take place.
Would you not consider taking this project to a full historic meeting and talking to them there and presenting it to them?
Well, the only problem with that is that it's everybody. It's only Dale and Piper that are part of the MAP project.
I still think that, and why don't you ask the question of Aaron, why don't you answer it?
My initial thought is that since you have a formal joint committee, they ought to meet to dot our I's and cross our T's. I think having just a sidebar with Dale saying, hey, is this good, sounds potentially problematic.
Okay.
I agree, and I would be open if Dale would say, you should really come and inform our whole commission, which, you know, if someone asked me that question, I'd say, no, I'm not making that decision. You come and talk to my whole commission, and you inform us so that we're marching down this road together, not just the subcommittee. So I would put that out to them.
Yeah, but see, the whole point of having it be a subcommittee that's the guys on Historic that are part of the subcommittee, they're making the decisions. If I have to present it towards everybody, then you've got everybody going, oh, well, I don't agree with this. It opens up a can of worms. They've already selected the people that they want to deal with this project.
I'm sorry.
Let them take the responsibility and talk to me about it.
Is your concern that this seems like such a minor thing that having a full meeting of the subcommittee would be perceived as a waste of people's time?
No, I'm afraid that it would it would blow up.
Okay,
into that, and everybody would want to get down into the weeds with all of this.
Sure.
That we've already done all that work.
Yeah.
It's just they don't work with RFQs and RFPs the way mm-hmm. public art does.
They don't work with them at all.
You know, right. So, you know, they should, what would be ideal would be they say, it looks great. Thank you for doing the heavy lifting. Yes, we just, you know, my question is about this or that specifically, and it's small, rather than have it go, gee, you know, why weren't we included on this from the very beginning?
Yeah.
And there's the reciprocity that I want to see where I'm going to have this discussion with Dale probably and saying, you know, we've given you 90% control over the plaque content, mm-hmm. and I've bent over backwards to make that easy for you, that you guys get what you want. Now it is the time for the contemporary sculpture to happen. Mm-hmm. So I want to be tactful in the way that's approached and not walk into the historic thing pushing everybody's buttons. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Tom has a question.
I had a thought.
Yeah.
The thought. Dale is the chair, right?
Yes.
Would it not really be his decision whether or not it's the full... I know you're... let me back up. So you were saying you can see some potential dangers if it's just you and Dale. You had mentioned it, right? Early on. That's what I was getting at.
Well, it wouldn't be documented.
Wouldn't it be rather than our decision, so to speak, or your decision, how to go forward with informing the historic commission, isn't that Dale's decision? How he wants that to unfold rather than how we have what we have. We have this information. Is it not a Dale how he wants it to be, you know, disseminated among the group? Isn't that his group? His call?
Worthy of consideration.
Having been on both commissions and having a feel for the vibe,
yeah.
although it's changed
yeah.
a little bit
yeah.
since I was on it, I'll just say, Dale likes control, and it seems to me that this is the MAP subcommittee's deal, not the whole historic commission.
Exactly, I agree.
So it seems to me that having a MAP subcommittee meeting where you address this, then the historic folks, likely Dale rather than Piper, will then bring it to historic. You don't bring it to historic.
Yeah.
So your slash our responsibility is to present it to the subcommittee. And then how historic deals with it is their call.
I agree with that.
We all good with that idea? Okay.
Thank you.
I think it's really important that Andy be good because he's on the point of the spear on this thing. I really want to honor him for
yeah.
appreciating the nuances of...
Exactly.
It's almost like you're in the United Nations or something.
Well, you know, actually
it
does feel a little bit that way. I've worked so hard to make sure that the railroad tracks are well greased. We don't want to have a derailment at this point.
This is why I'm so glad Andy's doing it instead of me, because I don't have that kind of patience and tact. So this is exactly how it should be.
So do we think it's important that we have that the dates of the selection panel review and the approval and the project completion?
I just didn't want that to be premature until we know that communication, we've reached out to historic, they're aware of this and everything's cool, then we can proceed with the dates.
Okay, so that's one thing. But the second thing is, do we need to have them, period?
No, that's what I'm getting to. I think you just say, these are the next things that will happen. I don't see why we have to have dates.
Okay.
Just say that this is the order in which things will
right.
then proceed.
TBD.
So, but
yeah,
TBD. Let's,
exactly.
The three key dates, I think, are the first three.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of the call, the applications due, and notification. And then following are just a litany of items that are going to happen. Okay. Does that sound okay to you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have one thing.
Yes.
Under the project process, where we say an informational conference call with the Public Art Commission will be scheduled. Last sentence.
I'm sorry.
Project process. First page.
Project process. Okay. Okay. Will be scheduled. Yeah, an informational conference call.
With the Public Arts Commission will be scheduled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the meeting phone call with?
Yeah.
With the PAC.
Okay.
Conference call with PAC.
Good.
So PAC is basically stepping in to deal with a whole lot of the MAP stuff. Then the PAC is going to make.
No, not necessarily. This is a exchange of information, a period of Q&A. This is the way we handled the finalists for Threshold.
So basically, as chair for MAP, I just take PAC's recommendation and I bring it to MAP.
No, we're not making any recommendations. We're just giving the artists an opportunity to ask us questions about this particular sculpture, not the whole MAP project.
No.
Yeah.
But PAC is going to basically do all the work in, you know, at what point is.
Well, if you want somebody from the Historic Commission to be part of the call, that's perfectly okay.
Or to sit on the selection panel.
Yeah. No, this is just the call to get more specific.
Yeah.
You know, rather than the artist thinking he's going to be approached by one person.
Right.
You know, they've got to know they're going to be talking to the entire commission.
Yeah, I just want to be careful to make sure that the MAP team as a whole feels included in the process.
So maybe the MAP people should be invited to this conference call.
Let's think about that.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I'm not sure that's the best idea.
I'll get more of a better idea after we talk about the hub sculpture in the MAP meeting and find out just how possessive.
So that's
that
what
MAP
I'm suggesting.
Feels about it.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah, there might be issues. So when can you schedule that? Backing up. Don't answer that just yet. We will have our latest and greatest final copy of all of this, including the attachments, in front of us in December, and we'll sign off on this is where we want to go with it. And then it would be great if you would schedule that meeting. So why don't you schedule it ahead of time?
Okay, well, here's the thought. The MAP team has not met in months because we're waiting for the whole contract stuff. I am waiting for Jennifer to contact me that she's ready to start talking about design. And the next MAP meeting would be a conference call with her to specifically talk about the plaque stuff. At that point, you know, we could talk about this RFQ with them. It seems like I don't know whether it's worthwhile assembling
right.
a team just to talk about the RFQ.
Well, and looking at the timing and thinking about where we are with the contract process, the next time this body will meet is December 20th. I think we're on pretty safe ground, assuming that by December 13th, Jennifer's probably ready to have that phone call with you. So, I mean, do you think it's possible for the MAP subcommittee to meet prior to PAC's December 20th meeting?
I would love it if I could make that happen, yeah. And that it just kind of depends on how soon I hear from Jennifer.
Well, I wonder if you don't take the steps of scheduling it proactively, and I'm not sure how you feel about that. or I can reach out to Adam and see where he. I'll reach out to Adam today to confirm where we are with that process and see if I can get a feel, because as soon as Jennifer gets that initial payment, I think you're going to be ready to go. So the real question is that check request time.
Okay. In looking at the big picture, there is one request from a citizen that is forefront in my mind about the schedule of this project, is that the business owner of Revive on at where Haskins Garage is specifically made a point to come and ask that the medallion not be installed during her busy season. So I want to respect that as much as I can.
But you aren't suggesting that we would let that hold up the medallion time frame, because I was assuming, and tell me if I'm wrong, that as the medallion process goes on, should they arrive in a time when it's inconvenient to do that installation, could that one plaque not just be stored until it's appropriate to install it? Like, you aren't suggesting that we would delay that entire timeline so we receive them and put them in the ground immediately, are you?
Only in the sense that I believe the contract bids are based on being able to knock out several of them at a time.
Understood.
It's, you know, if that one has to be gone back later and caught up, it's going to be extra money, and that's fine just so long as the money comes from somewhere.
Why wouldn't that be good for business to have that event happening right out in front of you?
Exactly. Business? Well, I'm at some point, once I get a little more information from Jennifer, I'm going to go
massage
the store and just chat with her and say, it's looking like my efforts to avoid these summer months may not pan out. I don't want to necessarily cause fear, but I do want to say,
you'd give her much more PR.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
The sooner these go in, the more business
we'll send more in medicine down there.
How long does it take to, do they estimate, to put it in? Per site.
I think they're figuring on being able to do two or three in a day. I think the installation was figured into 2 days for the
right.
Whole
so how could that really?
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Well, she gets deliveries.
Yeah, there's always trucks out there, and it could be.
It's not mine to say whether her concerns were valid or not.
That's right.
She brought them up, and I want to honor them.
I just say that
having a sensitivity to it, and she probably able to work with you, but she needs to hear it from you, and I'm really glad to hear that you're cognizant of her concern.
In
many cases, that's really all that's necessary.
Yeah. Well,
she's
that's what we found.
She's a person.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
But here's the opportunity, as we were just talking about, to make a big deal out of it and send our PR team over there.
Yeah. Is there going to be, though, when we finish, may I ask it, it came into my mind, some kind of... Are they all going to be done within, when they come, a week or two?
A dedication ceremony?
Yeah, after that, each location would have a...
Oh, yeah, you bet. We'll run this one.
Going to break a champagne bottle over each medallion.
Sandy, I got one little one on the timeline, and just probably my lack of understanding. So on the project schedule, it says February 28th, applications due, and then March 6th, which isn't very much time between the 28th and the 6th. All applicants notified of the commission's decision. Now, that decision
that's
is who are the finalists?
That's correct.
That's too soon.
And that's housed in this commission.
Okay. That's a pretty tight time.
Yes,
are you going to have a special meeting?
It's a week. It's less than a week.
But that's what we agreed upon, so I can't remember what the thinking was. But
that
if you
could
want to change
it, that could be
fine.
Tight.
That has to be
waiting on how many.
That's 1 week. That's pretty darn tight.
Okay.
It depends on how many we get.
Yeah, but that's too soon.
Okay, February 28th and March 6th, that's exactly a week. So what do you want to say?
April, at least.
Yikes.
So actually, if I may make a point,
March.
If I understood the previous conversation about the joint committee signing off on the RFQ, it's going to then need to go to the next regularly scheduled meeting of Historic for them to formally make that decision. Did I understand that correctly? Because if that's the case, we're not going to have this document finalized until December 20th, and then it would be the next Historic Commission meeting following that meeting when they would adopt their approval. So the whole January 6th call...
They don't need to adopt an approval. They don't need to approve it.
Okay.
Okay? All we're doing is...
It's FYI.
It's FYI.
Okay.
It's always FYI.
Okay.
So I think the January date is too soon anyway, because a lot of people just won't even be back from their vacations or...
No, it's February, not January.
This is project scheduled January 6th. Oh, that's when we issue
it? Oh, that's just the issue.
Okay.
It's the March 6th that's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it should be put off at least to April. After our April...
So all this is an internal meeting for us to review all the applications that have come in. And you're right. If we
it took a month at least.
50 of them, yeah. It could be a month. Okay. Good point. Tom?
One of the considerations when we talked about this before, just dawned on me, and I don't know if I'm here to talk about it now, was you leaving the commission. Remember we were talking about wanting to make this calendar work? Not that that would change, not that that March 6th needs to stay. I'm just saying that was a piece of what we were talking about when we were talking about this calendar. So, okay, let's say we don't use March 6th, but we were still hoping to make things happen in the calendar, that these key points happening at a time when we were still the chair. So I think that was something.
Right.
But didn't I understand that, oh, well, yeah, well, you were chair. The chairmanship would change, but you could stay on for another couple of months as part, right? You don't want to do that.
Only if I ask the mayor if it's all right, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, your term runs through April, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got
April,
the whole month of
it
April.
Should be enough.
Right. Our last meeting in April. Okay, so we're up to March 27, which is 4 weeks. 4 weeks after the due date. Does that sound reasonable? We have 4 weeks to sort out, hopefully, lots of applications.
March 27th.
Correct.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And then April for the 2 weeks? What's the 2 weeks after March 27th?
For what?
What it says 2 weeks here.
Oh, forget all that. Forget everything after that. Okay. Those are just going to be... What's going to happen next? I'll put bullet points next to them. Okay. So those are the only solid dates that we have right now. January 6th, February 28th, March 27th.
March 27th is a Friday.
Yeah.
So would it help?
We did have a special meeting, though, last time to review. Didn't we pass the...
Lots of special meetings.
Yeah, didn't we pass the applications around so everybody had a chance to look at them? We didn't do this all in one meeting.
No. Were you here for Threshold or for the prior thing?
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Wherever we went to the firehouse and we threw it up on the wall and kept looking at it.
Oh, I didn't do that, no.
Yeah.
How many entries did Threshold get?
About 80 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Initially, I think you were. Yeah.
Was it a quick sort?
Oh, yeah.
Initial sort?
No. We took everyone. Dana was in charge of that, and we took everyone with the documentation, and we create a slide presentation, and we put it up on the wall in the conference room at the firehouse. We must have met four or five times doing that. Hours.
Wow.
But there's a better process. And we can talk about that.
Okay, so I'm going to backtracking just slightly. I'm thinking, now that I've had just a couple of moments to roll around my noodle, I think it would be helpful for me to schedule a MAP meeting as soon as possible with the sole intent of discussing the RFQ so that whenever Jennifer's ready to go, we focus that meeting strictly on design, and we get the formalities of this RFQ out of the way, and so this body can know that's been done and proceed.
Thank you.
So let's schedule that as soon as possible.
Yeah, let's talk about it after the meeting.
Okay.
Or maybe, obviously, you're going to go into strategic. Let's talk about it very soon.
Okay.
It's a really good idea.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on this? Okay, so it will be updated to the best of everybody's ability by the December 20th meeting, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward with the January 6. So then I'm remembering another component we haven't talked about, which is to whom are we culling the list, verifying, validating the list that we have of artists, galleries that we've sent prior RFQs to, we can, yeah, you know, just really pulling it down. And then I think in the past we each took a section like California or Northwest and we sent out the RFQs directly. We each took a responsibility for an area. That's what we did in the past. How can we make this work smoothly now?
Well, do we have that list? From
yes, yes, and Aaron has it electronically.
Okay.
Well, there are sites that specifically help cater to turning those around.
And those are pricey and...
The ones I think referred to in the past were not. I mean, they're free, pretty sure. I think.
Well, you need to check to see if they're on the list.
Right? Yeah, they might already be, but... They go out everywhere, or I mean, regionally.
Okay,
would you like me to distribute that list?
I'd like to see it.
Let's talk about the process of how this is going to happen. If Aaron distributes the list, we can look at it, and we can do two sets of things. We can individually validate it by sending off a email to that. That seems like double work. Okay, I'm going to take that back. We can then choose areas just by virtue of how many emails there are within that state of Washington, for instance, and Allison, you sign up for the state of Washington, and you sign up for Oregon, and you sign up for California, and we create a descriptor, a paragraph, an introduction that is going out and make it clear that you are just sending on behalf of the commission and any questions need to go back to Aaron. Does that sound reasonable or am I missing something?
Why can't this just go out as a mass mailing from Aaron's list? What would the dividing it up, having never done this before, I don't know what the process is.
So I haven't reviewed that list extensively.
Right.
But what I noticed on it is some of the items that are on that list are emails. Some of them are web pages that appear to have a process to do the submission.
Sure.
If it's simply a matter of an email blast,
mm-hmm.
more than happy to take care of it.
Okay.
Just BCC everyone, here's the paragraph, here's the attachments, go. So it sort of depends on calling that list, and again, I haven't examined it very closely.
Is this list the one that Dana started that we're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right.
And you would send those emails from the city. Is that correct?
If it's a matter of sending a form letter with some attachments to a distribution list, I have no problem doing it.
Okay, that's one.
One thought I have is that Jeff has some experience in this area that the rest of us don't have. And what I found in... messing around with, I guess before Jeff took over, what I had started to do was that there are sites that are simply call for artists kinds of sites, and I have a feeling that Jeff knows what those are, and so we want to make sure that those sites are on that list.
Yeah.
So some people might get duplicates, but that's okay.
Okay. All right.
So how about the idea that Aaron does the email blast, which is, you know, considering staff time and all that, and then if there's websites or clearinghouses or whatever that require a more significant effort to plug into and go through whatever their process is, that's what we divvy up among commission members.
Okay.
Just a thought.
So can you separate out that list and pull together a list of websites, for instance, that need extra work?
Why would they need extra work?
Well, some of them, you go, okay, this is
template to GFS.
Right. It's like they'll ask 10 questions.
Okay. And,
but also, we should do it at the same time, though.
Yeah.
Or a day or two, you know, within the same.
I agree. Yeah.
As I started editing that list and going through some of those central locations, I found that they were no longer active. So there's...
Can I comment on that? I used to use Constant Contact, and I was curious what the city does when they do mass mailings. But one of the things that's nice about some of those email, not digging into websites per se, but email mass mailings is you get data back, whether or not, for instance, whether or not a certain email address
yeah.
is dead or something like that. So what does that mean? Well, we can, due to the data that comes back, we can update, we'd be able to update our list. And that's a way to do it. I don't know if it's the good way or the best way. But that's only emails. Only, that's emails only. So and when you were saying mass mailing, back in my days when I was using Constant Contact, I'm not sure whether the city uses a service.
I don't believe that we do. I was envisioning this would just simply be an email and Outlook with a very long distribution list that is BCC'd to all. So all of them appears to be an individually received email.
But I just want to finish on one more remark. But the one thing we don't know, and I'm sensing, since it was done by Dana originally, and you had said you haven't gone in there really to investigate to any great length, what do we really have? You know, how old is it? How up to date is it? That sort of thing.
Cindy, you were reviewing it, weren't you?
I didn't really take time to review it.
Okay.
I'm going to say 4 years old, don't you think?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I think that's 3 years. It's updated 2016.
Okay.
Also, we did a press release for local artists in conjunction with the RFQ, didn't we? That it was available for them to pick up, maybe at City Hall or something?
Yeah. I think we notified the Gallery Association.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I can't remember the, I wasn't part of that, so I'm not sure how that happened, but that needs to...
I mean, part of the criticism that we got is that we, you know, we didn't do enough to advertise it locally. Mm-hmm. So we should get on top of that this time.
Right.
It's a really good idea.
So I think maybe what we could ask you to do, if you would, is to cull out the websites, and then we can individually... because you're not going to be sending to that list anyway. We can individually go into the website and see what's valid and how we can make use of a website. You know, is there an email address that's part of that we then add on? And then print out or electronically send to us the emails that you have there by state. I think they're all located by state. One of the things to check out is to see what in Southern Oregon is listed as artists, so that we can add to that. And that probably could go out with the December packet that we could all review that artist list. I've dealt with it. Websites, yeah.
I gave you an electronic copy of that list, correct? Andy?
I think it was the other way around. I think I sent it to you because I started working on that list a long, long time ago.
Oh, before the 2016 update?
No,
I wasn't on this.
Updating
okay.
The 2016 one,
yeah.
Because I know I had a list that I have.
But I started working on that as soon as Allison made the map presentation deal. So I think I sent that to you.
My recollection was that we spent some time after the meeting in front of the laptop, and I pulled that file and sent it to you.
Those documents that you sent me later were completely separate of
okay.
the Dana's list.
Wasn't that for the press list?
No. That's not my well, perhaps it was.
So here's a simplification of this. At the December meeting, we're all going to volunteer to take parts of this and figure out what we're going to do with the list at that point. If it's just, if in the case of websites, we will sign up to investigate the website and find an email list for it. We can go through the email list, and if we know that there's additions that need to be made, deletions that need to happen, we'll do it here. Otherwise, we're looking for completeness, to the best of our knowledge, without individually going to the emails and saying, are you still alive? Okay?
If I may, I could volunteer to put together a list of contemporary art sites that we could consider. Websites.
Okay. So just be aware that we're just doing it in the West Coast here.
Yeah. Okay. North, yeah.
All right.
It's all stated on the states. Now, sometimes they overlap, but it doesn't matter because it's still applicable to...
So on a website, does it have a listing? I mean, how would artists would go to the website and see what the listing is for a call?
Yes, this would be pretty much it.
And does that website not cost money to post?
I don't believe so, no.
Some do.
Some of the municipalities that join up probably pay it could be as low as like a $10 fee for annual access to post.
Okay, so when you put together your list, would you investigate that?
Yeah.
Aaron, I'm going to email you the latest version of that list.
Okay, great.
Because
it's probably been updated since what I'm thinking of.
It probably has.
Okay. Allison?
Just a heads up, if Charter is the cable that the email uses, they throw everything into spam if you have over 20 in the mass mailing. When I email my students, which I do, I break it up into chunks because so many people, the Medford people especially, are on Charter as their server. And if Charter just, if it's a mass mailing, they just send it to spam. Hmm. And so it isn't like our individual, how we have our spam setting. It's just Charter does that. AFN does not. So it's something that we've run into a lot of problems with at Ollie when we're trying to email our students, or Ollie is trying to email, because we've got over 2,000 people.
Sure.
And so, and Rob has tried to work with Charter, and they just refused to. So it's just an issue that could come up to be considered.
Can I address that concern by starting with this? Do we have a ballpark estimate of how many email addresses are there? Is it 50? Is it 100? Is it 500?
I would say 100.
100, that's not big. Okay. I was thinking if it was 300-400 emails maybe or more, then using a service can get around these kinds of issues and give us other information as well. But if it's only 100.
I think.
Unless we're planning on making it more robust.
30 per page, and there were a lot of pages. Yeah, 100 to 200, I'm going to say.
Okay.
But we found that if it was over about 20, Charter was inclined to send it to...
You're saying 200 total, but we're eliminating a ton of those states.
Maybe 2 or 3, Montana and Utah. I can't remember where we said we were sending, but you're right. I mean,
I don't think the list deals with Montana. I don't think that was part of our list last time.
I was thinking it was, but maybe not.
Or Utah. I think it was just California, Nevada, Washington, Oregon.
I recall.
No, we went eastward.
I think we did Idaho.
And Idaho, yeah.
Yeah. But I was thinking we did Montana, but maybe not. Okay, Jeff is going to send the website with the dollars to Aaron, and he's going to make a list of that. We are going to receive in our next packet a list of everything that we think is valid, all the websites that we think are valid for the states that we are sending to. And then we'll work with that when we get to that, okay? All right.
So anything we're sending out is actually going out over the holidays, right?
No, No, not we're not posting till January.
Oh, we're not.
You're asking?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. RFQ is not going out until January 6th.
All right, so they have a little under 2 months to.
So they, right, they have a month and a half to respond.
Yeah.
And we have a month to look at their responses.
Okay.
Can I ask one more question, if you're relevant to this? Are we at a spot where we might be able to take a break?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
I need to move a vehicle.
No, you don't have to, though. Where are you out here?
Yeah.
We just heard that we can park all
the 4-hour parking signs have been taken down.
It was 2-hour.
So along Lydia Park,
it's 4 hours.
It's been 4 hours during the summer, but those signs have been taken down now. So during the winter months, it's not regulated.
But I still agree a break would be okay.
No. Here we are. We have finished number 5. Aaron has already done number 6 with a contract update. There is nothing on the work plan. There is no other business. So without objection, can we adjourn?
Please.
So we'll take a break, and then we'll dive into...
I'm going to have to scoop this on.
Okay. All right.
How long of a break do you want to take?
So when is lunch due?
I believe lunch is going to be brought in shortly after noon. Would you like it to be later?
No, earlier.
I can see if we can make that happen.
Okay, so let's start again.
How early would you like it if you could?
Just hang on for just a sec. So you want 10-minute break, 15-minute break? What do you want to... 10 minutes?